The following recording was produced by Christ Redeemer Church of Hanover, New Hampshire. You may find more information on the church and its various resources on the web at www.christredeemerchurch.org.
Our sermon passage today is from John 19. It's a bit of an extended reading on what we just heard from. Verses 28 to 37 can be found on page 8. You'll follow along with me. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head, and he gave up his spirit. Since it was the day of preparation, and so that the bodies would not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken, and that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first, and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. He who saw it has borne witness. His testimony is true, and he knows that he's telling the truth, that you also may believe. For these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled: not one of his bones will be broken. And again, another scripture says, "They will look on him whom they have pierced." Would you please pray with me? Oh, Father, we ask that you bless this time in your word, that you speak through me, that you use me to proclaim the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, and may you receive honor and glory. Amen. So, why do we gather on this day to celebrate the execution of a man? And then we quaintly call it Good Friday. It's because of these three little words: "It is finished." When Jesus uttered these words, he was not merely speaking of his life. He was speaking of his mission. The reason he was nailed to that cross is because of you and me, because of your sin and my sin, and your guilt under God's law. There are three things we will consider today as we unpack this. The first is the power of sin, the second is the punishment of sin, and the third is Jesus' payment for the sin, or for sin. So the first, the power of sin. Well, Tim Keller said it really well when he said, "It's a difficult task to convince the modern person that we all have sin, or that we have sin and we are sinful and therefore guilty." To this point, some of you may have felt this very thing in my opening words when I said your sin and your guilt is what put Jesus on the cross. Guilt is a bad word in our time. We shouldn't have to feel bad for who we are or what we do. "I am what I am, and that's what I am," said Popeye, right? We love this idea, right? And we have really borrowed this from what God said: "I am who I am," and what Jesus said: "I am who you say I am." We are saying, when we say this, that we are the definers of self. We are the ones who create ourselves. And that self is whomever we want him or her or it to be. And that self can do whatever he or she may want. However, the Bible tells us a different story. The Bible tells us we were created. And not only that, but that you, that we, were created in the image of God. Out of all the created things that God created, we were created in the image of God We were special. We were special in His sight. And as image bearers of God, we are meant to image Him. We are meant to look like Him, not physically, but our life and our actions are meant to look like Him. And yet, the power of sin tells us a different story. The power of sin tells us He is not worth looking at, looking like. The power of sin tells us He's not worth listening to. The power of sin tells us He's not worth trusting. This persuasive power of sin that whispers or shouts at your heart or in our hearts corrupts you and it destroys you. It pulls on your soul. It tugs you. And you can see this in your lives, right? You could see this with your spouse, with your kids, with your work, with your boss. You get angry. You get jealous. You even struggle to control your desires. And then what happens? You feel guilty. In Romans 3:23, a fairly well-known verse by Paul, he says, "For all have sinned and what? Fall short of the glory of God." We all fall short of His glory. We all fall short of God's glory. What is that? What is His glory? His greatness, His beauty, His holy presence with us. We fall short of His holy presence. We are marked, we are marred by sin. And not only can we see this in our lives, in our relationships with other people, not only can we see it in our relationships and in our lives, but we can see this also in sin's power, in death. Sin's ultimate power is really in our destruction or in destruction. Therefore, the punishment fits the crime. Which brings me to my next point, the punishment of sin. For this, we can go to Romans 6:23, not far from where we just were in Romans 3:23. For the wages or the payment of sin is death. Because of your sin, you owe a debt of death. The punishment of sin is death. Because of sin, death enters the world. While some of you might disagree with my proposal that you bear the guilt of your sin, or some of you might even actually disagree with the very premise of sin or even guilt, you might be disgusted by the very idea that I would say you are guilty and that you are sinful and that this moment on the cross is because of you. But I think few of you will disagree with this. Death is gory. It is ugly. It's painful. Even a good death, you've heard of a good death, even a good death is ugly. Death is not the way things should be. It is not the way God wanted things to be. Death is destructive. It ruins life. It breaks life. It fractures life. Those of you who have sat by a bedside and watched a loved one agonize for breath in those final hours, you know a bit of what I'm speaking of. Convulsions, regret, sorrow, and then a funeral. This is not what God meant for us. This is not part of what He desired and longed for us. What He meant for us was joy. It was hope and unity with Him and others. Sin fractured this relationship. Therefore, death is scary. It's something we fear. It's ugly. It's hideous. And we want to avoid it at all costs. A famous line that many of you, I'm sure, have heard by Woody Allen says, "I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens." Right? You've heard it before. Or a spin on this in a different tone from Tolstoy's The Death of Ivan Ilyich. Some of you might have read this back in college or in high school. Listen to this. The very fact of death of someone close to them, the people who were experiencing the death, The very fact of the death of someone close to them aroused in all who heard about it, as always, a feeling of delight. What? A feeling of delight. Why would you be delighted that someone died? That he had died and they hadn't. We hate to see someone die, but there's something of relief in that moment when you realize, at least it's not me. I'm calling it out. At least it's not me. I've escaped it once again. I've escaped death. But there's no escaping death. It's the punishment of sin. It is the outcome of sin. But, there's a way that death has no victory over your soul. There is a way. And to pick up on what we hear in the death of Ivan Ilyich, all the more, there's no greater relief, maybe mingled with sorrow, than knowing someone has actually died for you. Someone has actually died for you. Someone has laid their life down for you. Laid their life down for you, which brings me to my third and final point. Jesus's payment of our sin. So we've seen the power of sin. It corrupts us to the core so much that we try to redesign God's creation. We try to create the self. And then we see the punishment of this. And that punishment is death. Your sin separates you and leads you to destruction. It leads you to death. But Jesus, when Jesus was nailed to that cross, when Jesus uttered these words, "It is finished." He literally said, "My mission is complete." What is that mission, you ask? What was the mission of Jesus on the cross? Is it a cause of his own will, his own desire? Does he arrive at some place of enlightenment or deeper into personal satisfaction achieved through this moment of death? That's not a very glorious end, right? He seems like he really gives up. He turns himself over to these people to hang them on a cross. It's not very noble. Doesn't seem very enlightened, does it? It's hideous. It's a horrifying death. He's nailed to a cross. God is nailed to a cross. Jesus' mission is not for himself. The God of the universe chose to come after you and to die for you. That was his mission. His mission is to pay for the sins of his children, to reconcile them to their Father, the creator of all things. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says it this way, "For our sake, for your sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin." Jesus, the one who knew no sin, was made to be sin. Why? So that in him we might become the righteous of God. So that in him we might become right before God. Jesus' mission was to pay your debt in full. Therefore, the burden of your sin, the punishment of sin, falls upon Jesus' shoulders. He makes the payment for you. Now, I think this is a pretty simple thing, but let me try to unpack this a little bit, because I think what's simple is that we all understand debt, right? How many of you understand debt, right? Just nod your heads. You don't have to raise your hand. I don't want to embarrass you. We all get debt. Most of us in this room have had some debt, maybe have some debt, or maybe have somehow freed ourselves of it. But we all get the idea, right? And now I also imagine that some of you parents who are sending some new graduates off to college soon, you might be coming newly encountered with the reality of debt, right? Filling out financial aid paperwork, feeling that pain. Now, I want you to imagine just for a moment that someone came to you and said, all the debt you have accumulated, no matter how you got it, gambling, cheating, selling, I don't care, stealing, investing, college. You can put those in any of those categories if you want. And imagine they just said, I'm taking it on for you. I'm taking your debt on. I'm just going to take ownership of that. I'm snatching that all up. You don't have to deal with it anymore. It's not your problem. You don't have to deal with your debt anymore. What a relief. What a relief that would be to you. And all the more, God is a benevolent and abundant giver. All the more, He takes on our debt. Jesus takes on your debt of sin. He wants your soul to have relief from the debt of sin. So you can cry out, what relief! I'm free from this debt. This is not something to be taken lightly. This cross, this messiness of the cross. This is a message both for those who have not acknowledged your sin and the Savior, and also for all of us. All of us need to be reminded of this cross, and that's why we're here tonight. The cross is a difficult reminder of our sin. It is the place where the holy, blameless, and spotless Lamb went to die for your sin. He paid for your sin. And the cross is a reminder of our forgiveness and ultimately of God's unconditional love for you. In order to reconcile you to Himself, He sent His only Son to die for you. As for your guilt, it is finished. As for your sin, it is finished. As for your debt, it is finished. The glorious end to this Good Friday is indeed good. My debt is paid in full. When you receive this good news of Jesus Christ, when you come to know and acknowledge Jesus as Lord, then it is finished for you. It's finished. That means not one ounce of your sin, not one ounce of your guilt will be measured against you. He alone carried your burden. He carried your punishment to the cross. Good Friday is indeed good. Would you please pray with me? Our Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this word that is the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, dying for our sins, paying the debt in full, securing for us a place with you in eternity. We pray this in His powerful name. Amen.